All right then.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. As you can already hear, Maureen and her beautiful Irish accent are here.
You never give me like notice that you're pressing record and I'm always blurting out something. That's
That's
your way
part
of
of
stopping me
the
talking. It's like, okay, stop, record.
No, I didn't even say, okay, stop. I'm just like, I'm ready.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like in your brain, and I'm like, what?
Sorry about that. I was just very
Oh.
aware we have a committed call, which we're doing a bit of a reset, refocus, realign goals, in 30 minutes. So I thought we've not got time to faff.
No, let's get cracking then.
But also, how are you? How was St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, we just call it Paddy's Day.
Yeah, I know. I was being a knob.
Oh yeah, okay. It was grand. I had a good weekend and I didn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but it was nice to just have a bit of downtime and relax a bit.
What did you do?
I lay on the couch, which I sometimes I don't do. I'm always trying to do something. I'm like, oh, I need to find something to do, but then I was kind of like, it's a bad day. I'm going to lay on the couch and I'm going to have like a slow weekend.
Ooh.
Ooh. And it actually, yeah, did me the world of good. Stayed away from my family. I think my mother missed me. Because yesterday she texted me and she was like, do you want to have dinner with us? And I was like, no, it's okay. I have stuff that I need to eat. And she was like, okay, love. And she left a heart. And I was like, she misses me because I haven't seen her all weekend.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, okay, love.
My mum would never do that.
No.
Maybe if I'd not seen her for like 6 months.
Stop. Oh my God. If I haven't seen my mother for a full day, she's like, where were you? Where were you? I was like, just at home.
No,
when I go
sometimes
to
I'll call
Lanzarote.
my mum like and be like, oh, hey, like how, like I called my mum this weekend and like she's normally a bit like, what do you like, what's the point of this call, like what do you want? Oh, just checking in. She wasn't so much like that this weekend, but normally if I call her she'll be like, is everything okay? Like if I called my mum like twice in a week she'd be like, are you okay, like what's going on?
So that's where you get it from, where you're like, I don't see the purpose in this.
Yeah, what's the outcome of this call? Why
Yeah.
did we arrange this meeting?
No, my mother's the opposite. Like, she'd just be always saying, like, John lives in Dublin. And she's like, have you been talking to John? And like, John might reply to a message for me. Not that I talk to him that often, but I might say, oh yeah, I text him about something. Did he reply? I said he did, yeah. She was like, well, he didn't answer me. He'd never think to ring his mother.
Oh. He'd never think. Anyway, I went and I saw some deer this weekend.
Yeah, what was the crack with them? Were they just wild or what?
They're in Richmond Park. In a, yeah. So they, I mean, I guess they are wild, but they just seem quite tame. Like people just kind of like walking around, like right next to them. People letting their dogs out. Did you ever see that video that went viral and it was like Fenton? And the
No.
dog, like, oh, it's so funny. It's filmed in Richmond Park. But it's like this dog like gets away from his owner and starts chasing all these deer. And then there's this like full stampede of deer running towards the road. And then there's this man like running down me, like, Fenton! Fucking hell. He's like
No.
this English man like running along after his dog. So funny.
I must look that up. So,
Yeah.
was there a lot of deer?
Yeah.
Did you go touch one?
I didn't touch one. It did say to keep 50 meters away at all times and not feed them. Some people weren't keeping 50 meters away, but I did.
You obeyed the rules.
I did. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you
Yeah.
had a fun time anyway.
And then today I sat on a bench that was quite near some fox poo. And
How did you know it was fox poo?
well, I just think it was because I cannot tell you. Like, we were sat there for like 30 minutes, right? I think about six dogs came and rolled in it. Like it's like catnip to that. They're like, they love it, right? And then you could see all the owners like, the dog's just like rolling in something. Because you know, whenever you've got dog and it starts rolling in something, it's something horrendous. Like our family dog, every time we went to the beach, would find a dead seal and just roll in it. And then
Really?
like, oh well, okay, actually it's not that bad. And I'd be like sat in the back with the dog, like it really is that bad. Like it smells oh bad. Yeah.
That's mad, but like fox poo, like that's very specific.
I'm pretty sure.
Have you googled what fox poo looks like to like, you know,
Well, no, because it had been rolled in, so I don't know what it looks like, but
All
it
right.
wasn't just dog poo, because I don't think, or you know, not all that many dogs would come and roll in someone else's dog poo. No, that's not really a thing, but fox poo, oh, they love it. They love it.
Love
Can't
it.
get enough of it.
That's wild. I brought my dog for like the family dog for a walk yesterday, and I got when it stopped raining and it actually was sunny, which gets mad. It was like gray sky, absolutely teeming rain, and next thing, blue sky, sun splitting the stones, and like 14 degrees. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It you just never know how to dress for this country. But I saw two pheasants having a fight in the field. I think it's mating. Yeah, I think it's mating season.
Oh.
Just two dudes going hell for leather at each other. Yeah.
Right, okay. Should we answer some questions?
Yes, we shall. Where are we? Okay. I've seen quote unquote nutritionists on Instagram laud the benefits of taking collagen, e.g., protein collagen powders. Is there any actual benefit? And if so, is powder or capsules better?
So we've covered this many a time, but broadly, there might be some very, very small benefit in terms of skin elasticity and visual appearance of aging. I don't really buy into that. That would be, I mean, like if you want, take it, right? But make sure you're doing the basics first. What's going to have a way bigger impact on that is wearing sunscreen, like by an absolute mile. It would be like, yeah, anyway, I'm not going to make up some analogy. There's no need. And then the second thing is you definitely don't want to take it as a dietary protein. It's more expensive and it's not as effective as just simple whey protein. Whey protein has a better amino acid spectrum. Collagen doesn't have a full amino acid spectrum and it's cheaper. And that's all. Yeah. Do you have anything to add on that?
No, you covered it all.
Okay.
Next question. I have seen quote unquote tonic account on Instagram. They do nutrition posts about what's over slash underrated at different supermarkets. One reel says to avoid high protein chucky puddings, etc. in Lidl, and they are like, and the like as they're filled. Oh yeah, and the like, as they're filled with gums and additives and have high sugar content. I have a massive sweet tooth and I like to have one of these protein pudding yogurts most days. I also love protein chocolate bars and Diet Coke. Are these quote unquote treats in moderation okay, or should I avoid these because of the sugar content and instead try to have something like Greek yogurt and a nut butter or honey with fruit instead?
It's a good question. I mean, broadly, this is the question of like, does it matter what you eat and the quality of what you eat as opposed to just like the calories within it? And I think the answer is yes, it does matter, but people love like an absolute. Like they want to be like, oh, Emma said, never have Diet Coke, never have like a grenade bar or a high protein yogurt or something. I'm like, no, probably have it in moderation. Like if you're having a grenade bar, a protein yogurt, and a Diet Coke every single day, literally nothing bad will happen to you. But do I think that it's the healthiest version of your diet? No. But if you had like one of those a day as a bit of a sweet treat, like absolutely, I think that's fine to keep in your diet. I also think we're not 100% sure how a lot of these things impact. We both listened to Diary of a CEO episode with Lane Norton the other day. Actually, this was one of my favorite parts because he spoke about how a lot of people claim that artificial sweeteners impact your gut microbiome. And this is true. But one of the impacts on your gut microbiome is an increase in a certain bacteria that we actually think is like related to improved health outcomes, right? And there's also a whole host of research around the gut microbiome that shows that changes happen, but we just don't know yet which changes are good, which changes are bad, and then also the context of those changes. So like if one, I don't know, gut bacteria goes down but another one goes up, like how are they all interacting? None of this works in isolation. One thing isn't inherently good and bad, and we can just be like, that must be bad, that must be good. Like it's just not that simple yet. And then my favorite part was probably about 2 minutes after that, when there was an ad for Zoe that was like, with this new science, we can test 100 different gut bacteria and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, do you think they even notice how contradictory, like it within a 5 minute like segment? Like, I don't know if it like, do you think he knows that? Or do you think he
Oh no, have to have. Like I think Lane would have challenged if
Oh,
Steve.
Lane would have known, right? The
Oh
get
yeah, but
100%.
Steve. Yeah, no, I still think like Stephen's not stupid. Like he's not stupid. I think if he wasn't endorsed in, like he's a businessman, he probably doesn't know anything about Zoe. He just is like, oh, this is doing well. I want to invest in this or be endorsed in this. It can make me money. So I think he has to. Like I think some of the questions that he asks, he makes himself look stupid, but it's like I don't actually believe that he's that stupid. It's just for the sake
Oh,
of the
yeah,
podcast.
I think sometimes he's like, okay, so I know nothing about diet. What should I do if blah, blah, blah? Or someone said ultra processed foods might negatively impact your gut microbiome. What would you say about that? So I get that kind of like, or like that's just kind of part of being an interviewer, I guess, as well. Yeah, I just found.
Yeah, but I think he has, like, I do think he has, like, a good level of knowledge of nutrition and training himself. He has talked to a lot of people, he's interviewed a lot of people. He does probably know the basics, and he probably knows that there's no need for Zoe, but he sees it
Yeah.
as a way to make himself money. And I definitely think, like, Lane would have challenged the glucose monitoring if Stephen wasn't, endorsed by it. Like there had to have been some sort of a clause there where he was like, look, mate, you cannot mention
Well,
the
we're not
Zoe
going to talk
diet.
about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
It had to have been said because, yeah, it had to have been.
See, I don't know, because one thing that Lane was talking about was how it's really hard when you have like two people who you think would know about nutrition, right? Say you've got like Lane Norton on one side and you've got Tim Spector on the other, and you're like, they both have PhDs. They both, from the outside, if you don't know science, right, like have like kind of similar areas of PhD. But if you look closer into Tim Spector, you realize that actually it's not a nutritional foundation that he has. But anyway, like you might not know that from the outside. Now, if people are saying opposing things, it's hard to know who's right. And I would say that given where Stephen is, and you're interviewing all of these people that are meant to be experts in their field, probably has a very confused view of nutrition. And what I actually don't think he knows is the basics. I think he maybe understands, like, well, whether it's right or wrong, right? But like higher level stuff, but like there's no fundamental basic level. Or maybe because I don't think, I think he probably believes a lot of the Zoe hype, which is probably part, I mean, like, yeah, there's definitely the financial interest, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone like that actually bought into it, because you don't have the fundamental, real basic knowledge, right?
Maybe.
But that part I found funny as well, because he was like, yeah, when you've got these two people that are obviously experts in their field, it becomes really confusing. And then he was like, obviously you know nothing about nutrition. So it would be
Yeah.
ridiculous if we were having a conversation and someone believed you over me. And then he was like, and obviously, like, if we were talking about venture capital investments, it would be ridiculous for someone to believe me over you, because that's your expertise. But I was like, that was, do you know what I thought I was really impressed was like, I followed Lane for years, right? And sometimes he can be quite aggressive in the comments, making things personal, kind of like ego driven, or like, you know, calling people stupid or that kind of thing. But he came across so well. He did make little like not digs, but like proved points around things, and but like did it so well. Yeah, I thought it was actually quite good.
Yeah, the part where he was saying, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. He was like, people are listening to people on social media on this podcast. Like he full on said, on this podcast.
Yeah, and when he was like, and like a
Very funny.
previous guest you had who claimed that cortisol would make you gain fat,
Yeah.
that's not actually how it's working. This is how it's working. And I was like, yeah, well done.
Yeah. We got on a bit of a side tangent there from the question, but just that's just how we roll. But in this question as well, like I would be saying in terms of those things, and Lane did say this on the podcast as well, it's like if having these things in your diet in moderation allows you to adhere to what you're doing, then I see absolutely no problem. Like it's actually a benefit of having them in there if it's going to allow you to live like what feels like a quote unquote normal life and not feel deprived. I would be adding in those chocolate puddings and Diet Coke and stuff like that. No problem.
Yeah, just have it in moderation, and then also know that like I think it's often what you're comparing things to, right? Sometimes it's like, well, but you wouldn't be the ideal anyway. Like, is that the healthiest diet? No. But is it potentially way better than the diet you were having before? If someone's like, oh, you know, I could swap full fat Coke for Diet Coke, yeah, do it. Would it be better to swap it for water? Probably, yeah. But like, are you going to do that consistently? And is it going to have that much of a negative impact to have, you know, some water and also some Diet Coke? Like, that's kind of like the balance, right? And I do think like generally minimizing ultra processed foods is probably a good idea, but to demonize them and to try and cut them out, like, probably not a good idea from like a psychological health standpoint, and also just from like a food practicality standpoint and a not hating your diet standpoint.
Something that I had a coaching call today, one of my one-to-one clients, and I was saying, you know, sometimes I go on to TikTok to get away from fitness content. So like that's where I kind of scroll for leisure rather than work or
What comes
whatever.
up on your algorithm?
Oh, it varies. It can be puppies, it can be Taylor Swift, it can be Harry Styles, it can be last night, it was people eating food. So this is what came up last night. It was like somebody cooking food. There's this term. Oh, it's like a blue collar wife or something. Have you heard that term? It's like I'm gonna butcher what it is, but the gist I was getting, it's like wives who just look after their husbands. Their husbands are out working all day and then they come home and then this person is a
Housewife.
yeah, but they have this name, a blue collar wife. I'd have to look into it more. Yeah, Google it there.
Continue. I'll Google it.
So, what was I getting to? Oh yeah, so this randomly popped up of this blue collar wife making food for her husband, and the video was literally of just a frying pan that was literally like a couple of inches deep in cooking oil, and was frying like I can't remember what she was frying. I think it was like chicken goujons. Well, there was two videos I saw. She like cracked an egg. Tipped a whole tin of beans in, a few sausages, food that came out of a tin, like just like ready-made meals, but they were in a tin, but they were poured into like this big like puddle of oil or whatever. And I was watching that and I was thinking, you know, I often do be hard on myself for not being quote unquote perfect with my nutrition. But at the same time, I'm like, there are still a lot of people in this world that are eating like this. I'm doing okay. And it's like anyone who's listening to this podcast and who's on Commit to Six or is working with us, you are doing so much better than a lot of the population.
Yeah, so just laughing at it. I sometimes do be hard on myself.
Why are you laughing on that?
That's such a weird thing to say.
Why?
I've never heard someone say it like, I sometimes do be. Doesn't make any sense.
It's just the Irish, it's the Irish language.
Are you well?
It's like the other day when I put in thanks a mil into the group and you were like, that's tra what did you say? That's Irish for thank you.
Yeah. Okay, being a blue collar wife means late nights packing suitcases and early mornings making breakfast. It's going days, even weeks without seeing your spouse and babies, missing daddy. It's lots of text messages and exchanging of pictures. Pictures.
Oh.
Oh God, that stuff.
You wouldn't be one of them.
I could actually, I would be the worst. I'd be like, make your own food. I'd be like, wait, I don't care.
Oh,
I'm
stop.
more likely to marry a blue-collar wife. Which is exactly what my TikTok, I actually deleted TikTok ages ago, but mine just used to be lesbians.
All over the place.
Yeah. I used to
Yeah.
use it to get away from fitness content as well.
Oh, I love it. And I get such a laugh out of it. My sense of humor, like I laugh at silly things. Like, I don't know, my sense of humor is just funny, but I can take into fits. Like, I mean, cry and laugh and the glasses have to come off. I'm here holding my eyes, just in hysterics, laughing at like random stuff on TikTok. But it brings me just such joy. Yeah, I love it.
Great. All right then.
Last question.
Yes.
Does salt actually make you gain fat, or is it just bloat? Oh, we actually have another question after this one.
It doesn't make you gain fat. It probably doesn't bloat in the way that may. Well, I don't know. When I hear the word bloat, I think more about like stomach bloating. Like it will make you retain water because your body likes to keep a very distinct homeostatic range of osmolarity. So, like if you're taking in more water, if you're taking in more salt, then you'll need more water because your body doesn't want to be out of that range. But no, it doesn't. That's why, like, if you have a really salty, I don't know, takeaway or something, sometimes like for a couple of days afterwards, you feel a bit like puffy and like you're retaining water.
And like you can sometimes like increase your fluid intake like subconsciously when you're drinking when you're eating more salt, and then you just have
You're linking
overall.
first. Well, that's basically how your body works. It's fucking
Yeah.
amazing, right? It's like, oh, we need more water. Let's make you more thirsty so that you consume more water.
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible? And it will stop you peeing as much. Did you see that somebody what did I just want to get the wording right? Called me a neurotic radical feminist for
I saw that.
yeah. For
Did it make you
literally
think
just
of?
saying, most people already consume too much salt and shouldn't be having electrolytes. But that is a very radical feminist view. So I understand if people are turned off by that. Do you know what I loved about it? It just made me think, I love our clients so much. A few people were like, this is exactly what made me join Commit to Six. Like, this was the turning point. She's like, I'm actually only signed up for the radical feminist view.
Love it.
Oh, legends.
Okay,
Okay.
one last question. Yeah. What are your thoughts on very low carb or no carbs after breakfast?
Oh. I mean, you don't, you absolutely don't have to, right? But if you were gonna reduce your carbs, it probably would be the best way around to do it. If you don't know why, then listen to the last episode on PCOS and the one a couple of times ago on fasting. But essentially, your body metabolizes glucose better earlier in the day, and then you're more likely to kind of be moving around and using it. So you're probably, yeah, would if you were going to have higher carbs, then having them earlier in the morning would be better. I don't do that. I actually do the complete opposite. And you can kind of argue the complete opposite as well, depending on when you train. And it would be interesting to see. One thing I haven't figured out, and I don't think there's a study for this, and I'm not sure it could even be practically done in a particularly easy way. But if you just look at like circadian rhythm, your ability to handle glucose peaks at about noon, right? Now, that doesn't include when you exercise. So, another massive impact of how insulin sensitive you are is exercise. It's probably the most potent thing. So, if you're exercising in the evening and eating your carbohydrates around that, despite the fact that, like, underlying, like from a circadian rhythm point of view, you would be slightly less insulin sensitive in the evening, If you were training then, I have no data for this whatsoever, but my view of it would be you'd be very likely to be so insulin sensitive from training anyway that it almost doesn't matter. It's like a drop in the ocean. Like, oh yeah, your ability to handle carbs goes down a little bit, right? I'm certainly not saying you cannot eat carbs in the evening, but from what we can see, people tolerate carbs better in terms of being able to effectively clear them earlier in the day. I think when you exercise would probably have quite a large part to play in that too. And then I also wonder, because we know that exercise elevates insulin sensitivity for about 48 hours after. So then even then, would it matter? Like, are we looking at that when we look at circadian rhythm? And is it like an additive thing? So like, okay, you've exercised, so your insulin sensitivity is higher, and it could become even more high. Like, I would imagine it's probably not. And if you're a healthy individual who's not type 2 diabetic, there is like a saturation point to that. You can't just become more and more and more and more insulin sensitive. Like, it's not really the point. So yeah, that's a thought that keeps me up at night. Okay. What would the impact of exercise be there? And if you're someone as well who's like, right, well, okay, but I like eating more carbs in the evening, which would be me. Like, generally, I don't mind eating like the same breakfast and lunch every day. I don't mind that it might be quite boring. But in the evening, I like to take some time, sit down, look forward to a nice meal. It's normally my most sociable meal. So I like to generally have more calories and more carbs there. From a metabolic health standpoint, it's probably the worst time to have the biggest meal. So if you wanted to mitigate that, could you go for a little walk afterwards? Could you not just sit down on the couch straight away? Or could you train later on in the day and then, still have this like increase in insulin sensitivity afterwards? Just thoughts. And it's all like, at what cost? Sure, you could be like, right, what's optimal for me would be to have a bigger breakfast, a small lunch, and then like a tiny dinner from like a metabolic health standpoint. If you're someone who's already lean, fit, active, like if you're me, there's literally no need for me to do that. If I had PCOS and I was struggling to conceive, then it might very well be worth me doing that, right? Because there's been evidence to show that that will increase fertility and increases ovulation in women with PCOS. So it'd be worth it, right? You've kind of got a bit, and this is where coaching comes in. What's your situation? What's important to you at the moment? And based on that, how do we need to structure your nutrition? As
Yeah,
opposed, oh, read this, I'll just do this as well.
I agree. Like, it has to be person specific. It's like, how do you like to eat? Like, I know myself, I like to have carbs at every meal. I feel more satiated. I'm able to adhere to eating well better when I have like some bit of carbs. Like, now I'm talking about starchy carbs. Like, I'd always have like fruit and veg, but like, I do like to have a pita bread or slice of toast or pasta or whatever. And it just suits me that way. And it's if you are somebody as well who's struggling with like overeating or anything like that, it's definitely worth having a more balanced approach to having all of the macronutrients in your meals. So again, while in theory everything might sound great, but applying that can sometimes be a bit more difficult.
And if you extrapolate this out and you go to this person, what's your overarching goal? And they're like, fat loss. It doesn't matter. Let's figure out what works for you. Because actually, low carb for some people works really well and they feel more satiated having low carb. And then Maureen's just said from her own experience, I feel more satiated having carbs with my meals. And this is where a lot of this is one of the problems with research is you're looking at averages. So someone will come along and say, well, did you know there's this meta-analysis that shows there's no difference between low carb and high carb, and you can lose fat on both, and like it literally doesn't matter. Fine, that's true. That just proves that you can lose fat in numerous different ways as long as you're creating a deficit. That doesn't prove that a certain approach might be genuinely better for some people. And I've worked with enough people now to know that some people do fucking well on low carb, and some people don't. And that's because, and when you look at research and when you go into like individual responses, you might have some people within one study, the outcome of that study might be that there was no impact of, I don't know, going low carb or taking a certain supplement. Or a good example of this is weight gain around the implant, right? On average, there's very minimal weight gain. But when you look at the scatter plot of the data, some women gain like tons of weight, right? But some women actually lose weight. Maybe it's because, I don't know, their symptoms are better and they're taking it for a reason that they had really bad PMS or something, and now they're not overeating during PMS. They find it easier to lose weight. So some people gain, some people lose. And what looks like on average, there's no effect, when actually there was huge effects either way. So you've got to look at that as well, or be aware that there are these individual differences as well.
Agree.
Okay, well, we better wrap that up. So
We
we've got
better.
6 minutes to prep.
Do you want to tell people what we've got coming up soon?
Oh my God, well, I'm very glad you asked, because it's the start of the April Commit to Six in April.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Exciting.
As of right this second, I think 19 of the 50 spaces for the early bird, which were released about four or 5 hours ago, have gone. So get signed up. I don't want people to miss the early bird offer. That's all. Oh, where do they sign up, Maureen?
They can sign up on esgfitness.co.uk/commit6 or commit.
I always
Yeah.
feel like we're on a morning TV show when we do that.
Oh yeah, I know. But like we are, we're
Forward
just
slash.
forward slash
Why
commit.
do I always have to say forward slash? No one does a backward slash.
I don't know.
It should just be slash.
Or slash forward slash. I don't know. Just accept it, okay?
Okay, here's what it is. I'll also put a link to my direct WhatsApp if anyone wants
Oh, no
to.
saucy pictures though.
Yeah, send away. If you do have any questions about coaching, and just making sure whether this is the right program for you and whether we can help you, and just a little bit of reassurance, my messages are always open. I'm always happy to hear from you. And that's all. Have a lovely day and goodbye.